Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for your time this evening. I know there's a very important match at 8 o'clock, so promise not to go into overtime. Just start off with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity today to hear from your word. We pray that we would approach this passage with open hearts and open minds. I wonder if you can recall where you were and what you were doing at the time of the death of Queen Elizabeth. It was the afternoon of the 8th of September, 2022, and I recall tuning into the BBC News channel. It reported that Her Majesty's doctors had expressed concern for her health earlier in the morning, and the cameras were set to a feed of the outside of the Balmoral Gates. And it seemed like hours for the television just showing those gates, unable to announce it until the official word came through. Queen Elizabeth II died peacefully in Balmoral, aged 96, surrounded by her family, with a state funeral that followed 10 days later, and a succession as king by her eldest son, Charles. Although we do not have it in the reading tonight, I'm sure we are at least somewhat familiar that within hours of Jesus' conversation here with Pilate, that he was stripped and flogged, taken to a hill outside the city, and crucified alongside two thieves. His disciples scattered, his corpse maimed, buried in a simple tomb in semi-secrecy out of fear of the authorities. The contrast is very stark. On the one hand, a dignified death in a royal palace at the end of the longest reign in British history, followed by a carefully choreographed funeral watched around the world. Jesus, on the other hand, a public humiliation, a scattering of those closest to him, and a criminal's death, not what we would expect of a king. And yet the passage, as we shall see, is crystal clear that Jesus is not only a king, but will tell us, firstly, the nature of his kingdom, that his kingdom is not of this world, it is heavenly and has universal sovereignty. Secondly, that ultimately, Jesus' death will bear witness to the glory of this kingship. And finally, that this is a truth that only some will appreciate. First off, to again set the scene, it's early in the morning now. We have had the Passover meal, the events at the Garden of Gethsemane, and at the questioning before the high priest, the denial of Peter, and now the religious authorities have brought Jesus to Pilate because only Pilate can put him to death. They brought Jesus just outside Pilate's building as they refused to go in out of the cleanliness laws so that they could attend the Passover, even as they lay false accusations about Jesus. They are keen on these kind of ritual elements. Pilate has now brought Jesus into the hall, though, on their own. And here we see, firstly, that Jesus' kingdom is a heavenly, not an earthly kingdom. It is not of this world. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" When asked by Pilate, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus challenges his question. Jesus knows the Jewish authorities seek to persuade Pilate to execute him on the fictional basis that he is a threat to the Roman imperial occupation because he is a Messiah that will lead a revolt. Now, there had been some recent previous examples of false messiahs leading such revolts to drive out foreign occupiers under kind of religious pretenses. So they knew it was an accusation that Pilate would listen to as a threat to the Roman power. Jesus challenges Pilate to see if he believes this accusation. Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Now, did Pilate believe this, Jesus claiming an earthly kingship? Unlikely not. Pilate was doubting the accusers, a group he often found a serious nuisance, and he knew that they only acted in their own interests, hence why he asks, "What have you done?" But it's clear that Jesus does not claim to be an earthly king. He is clear to the opposite, that his kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world. This matches Jesus' description of his kingship throughout his ministry. And I've got some verses from you from the other Gospels. In Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10, Jesus rejected an earthly kingship when tempted by Satan in the desert. Again, in Mark 14, verse 61, 63, in answer to the high priest's questions, "Are you the Christ, Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am, and you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And finally, in Luke chapter 22, 24 to 30, while speaking to the disciples, Jesus said that unlike the Gentile kings who oppress over others, that his kingship was given to him by the Father and is marked by service, sacrificial service, and ultimately judgment. It's clear to us that Jesus' kingdom is heavenly and radically different. But this does not mean that his kingship is inactive in this world. It is not a remote, he is not a remote deist figure. In verse 36, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews." Now, it's easy for us to think of films or television, a few examples, where we have the kind of cartel or gang members helping to spree their boss from imprisonment, as happened several times with the likes of Pablo Escobar or El Chapo. But Jesus actually aims at the opposite. When earlier in chapter 18, at the moment of Jesus' arrest, Peter did attempt to fight those arresting Jesus, Peter here at this moment did not yet fully understand the nature of Jesus' kingship and what he had to do. And for this, Jesus rebuked him to put his sword away, saying, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Verse 11. And we've covered this passage in a previous week. Similarly, Pontius Pilate, later on in this book, tries to release Jesus, but he is frustrated by the situation in the crowd. And in frustration, he even says in verses 10 to 11 in 19, chapter 19, "You will not speak to me," speaking to Jesus. "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." It's almost amusing, as Pilate does not recognize who he is speaking to, that Jesus is control, not him, and ultimately it will be Jesus who has power for eternal judgment. And we see through these situations that the reason Jesus is there is because God's sovereign plan requires and determines that Jesus will go to his death to fulfill his kingly mission, to die on the cross. Indeed, just before this passage in verses 31 to 32, in the description of the handing over to Pilate, it said that this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Now, while Jesus' kingdom is not earthly, this does not prevent his divine sovereignty over what will happen in this world, particularly the fulfilling of this purpose described in the passage. Now, what does this mean? Earthly kingship ends with the death of its rulers. Elizabeth II's rule ended in 2022, and all current kings, presidents, prime ministers will see an end to their rule. I think we're due to have a new one on Monday. Notably, also, all the previous false messianic revolts in this antiquity period, and also some in the early modern period, later in history, they have all ended with the death of the leader, and we hear nothing about them today. Not so the case with Jesus and the church. Because Jesus' kingdom is not earthly, but heavenly, this means death is not the end. Jesus' kingdom will not fade. Christ's rule continues and will do so for eternity. We should also, therefore, not look to Jesus for the might that we associate with earthly kings or rulers. Wealth, power, intellectualism, domination over others, or even national rescue. as some still do. While these earthly things appear majestic, this is not what we are looking at with Jesus, and is the mistake of some elements, such as the prosperity gospel, or even those who might see kind of a watered-down moral teacher of Jesus. To look to Jesus for these other things is to ultimately have too small a view of Jesus, and one that is concerned with only our earthly needs rather than our salvation. Now, we'll see that Jesus' death shows the glory of his kingship. Again, in the passage, starting from verse 37, then Pilate said to him, "So, you're a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Now, let's unpack this. What is the kind of truth being spoken about here? The truth is Jesus, God made man. If we were only, we could read this on a very superficial level of truth. The truth here contrasting with the lies being put forward by the Pharisees. The lies that Jesus is seeking earthly power. The truth is that Jesus' kingdom is heavenly. But the truth is also far more than that. That Jesus is testifying to himself as the truth. At the beginning of John's gospel, in chapter 1, verse 1, begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And going to the verse 14 in there, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In John chapter 4, verse 6 as well, Jesus describes that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' purpose here is to bear witness to himself. The truth is Jesus, the King, the glory of God made man. Now, how does Jesus bear witness to this glory? Now, he has been throughout his ministry. At the beginning of John's gospel, in chapter 2, after his first miracle at Cana, the turning water into wine, it is described as the first of the signs through which Jesus revealed his glory. But many of these signs act only as the kind of trailer to the final premiere that we see today. Jesus' death on the cross will be his ultimate revelation of his glory and his triumph. If I can quote a bit more at length from John 17, verses 1 to 5. In Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus repeats this several times throughout his ministry, that his death would be the hour where the Son of Man would be glorified and God glorified through him. His crucifixion will be the fulfillment of his purpose in coming into the world in order to rescue it as part of God's plan and which had been prophesied in the Old Testament before. In one of the moments during his ministry, in John chapter 12, after the discussion of glorification, in verses 31 to 33, Jesus said, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And then John writes, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This refers directly back to what was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. It said, "He shall be lifted high, he shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted." This is from a section of Isaiah that describes Jesus will be pierced, and as the sacrificial lamb will bear the sins of the world. Now, it's easy to forget how shocking and radical this is, the crucifixion. A bruised, bloody, broken Jesus in public execution, almost naked, in the hot Middle Eastern heat, a crown of thorns instead of a crown of gold. And yet this further shows how different Christ's kingship is to an earthly one. And it is one that we will see at the end of time. John, writing in the book of Revelation, looks forward to describing how at the end of time, all heaven will declare, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, be praise and honor and glory and power as he is on the throne." So what is the significance to us of Christ's crucifixion being his kingly glorification? This gruesome scene is the moment of our rescue, of Jesus taking the punishment we deserve, and unless we see the cross as central, the pinnacle, we have too little a view of Christ. Now finally, this is a truth only some will appreciate. Again, verse 37, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Now, what do we think here? Is Pilate's reply a scoff, a weary cynicism of someone who's been woken up at the early hours of the morning, or an actual curious reply? Probably most likely the first two, but either way, it makes little difference. Ultimately, he does not recognize that the truth that Jesus bears witness to is himself. Although he recognizes that Jesus does not have the guilt of trying to claim earthly power as a challenge to the Roman authorities. And we've also seen that Jesus has told Pilate that he is correct, that he is a king. Pilate still does not act as one convicted of the truth. He still does not know who he is speaking to. After this passage, when Pilate agreed to hand over Jesus, he symbolically and in vain washed his hands in front of the crowd that was paying for Jesus' death, for giving him over to be executed. Pilate does not recognize that Jesus was innocent, but he did not recognize him as his king, and that one day they would meet again, where not Pilate would be the judge, but Jesus. So if we are to be of the truth, well, we are to listen to what Jesus says about himself and put our trust in that truth. I'll close now with a prayer. Lord, thank you that your kingdom is a heavenly, eternal kingdom that never ends. Thank you that the crucifixion is a moment of glory far above that of an earthly ruler. Amen.